Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills with Pastor David Archibek. We now join the service in progress.
So you guys ready for the word? Yeah. Well, get this. Today, I don't know how long I'm going to go, but I was on this topic. I was praying yesterday, and I got this word. I was reading in a passage, and the Lord says, life support. That's the series, life support. I used to work in the medical field for 13 years, as some of you know, and as a respiratory therapist, I used to I would put anybody who was intensive or critical care, I would put them on, get this, life support. I was part of the team that resuscitated if somebody had a heart attack, stroke, or something collapsed in the hospital, or somebody was shipped in from the ER, and we met them in the trauma room. And like you see on, you know, if you've ever watched trauma, ER, I was one of the therapists in there, and there's nothing I haven't seen in the ER. I mean, and I've seen a lot of death. I've seen a lot of life. I've seen a lot of just crazy things. But the way people, you know, when they come in traumatized and they come in comatose, and the first thing we have to do is that we have to manage their airway, make sure, and we take care of their vital organs. And listen to this. The definition for life support refers to the spectrum of techniques used to maintain life after the failure of one or more vital organs. And so the most important is not your heart. Most important, remember if you've ever had CPR, but it's the ABCs, airway, breathing, and circulation. And all of these are important factors of life support. And I'll further the purpose. A patient requires life support when one or more vital organs fail due to causes such as trauma, infection, cancer, heart attack, or chronic diseases. Among the purposes of life support are establish and maintain the airway, the ABCs, what I just explained, the breathing and circulation, restore the patient's homeostasis. You know, your electrolytes can be so totally whacked out in your body and people can go unconscious because your electrolytes are just whacked, or to protect the patient from complications of underlying diseases in their treatment. And so, life support. But there's also a spiritual life support. Let me just explain a couple things about life support. Life support is so uncomfortable. Anybody ever been on a ventilator and you were alert enough to know it? Nobody? Okay, so good. Everybody's living in here. Okay, hallelujah. But when we put somebody on life support, it's because they're incapable of keeping themselves alive at that moment. But once they start coming to being, it's the most uncomfortable. We have a tube that goes directly into their lungs, and you have to position it in the right place. If you don't position it in the right place, it'll just trigger a cough in the patient, and they're just, you know, flailing and coughing, and you know, you can actually bottom out, or their blood pressure shoot up, their heart rate, or whatnot. And, you know, if you're not sedated and your mind turned off, you buck life support. But it's very necessary. I'm building up to something, but what I have found is when somebody's on life support, you know what we have to do to these patients? We have to tie them down. Tie their legs, tie their arms to the rails, because it's just a neurological thing. When something's in your mouth and all these wires and IVs are in, is if you just start to come to being, the first thing you want to do is yank the tube out. And we've had that. Somebody extubates themselves, and then we have to call an emergency and get all the techs in there and get them, you know, the life support right back in so they will live. But there are certain things that we cannot have adequate life support if that patient is too awake, because they will buck. So we got to keep them comfortable. There are certain things that we have to do. Certain people, they will disconnect from the life support. And we have all kinds of alarms on these ventilators for the second the circuit is broken, that alarms go off, and again, we all run in there and make sure the patient's okay. Same thing with if we're running any kind of IVs on the inside and monitoring of their heart. And all these are gauged, and they let us know how the patient is doing. But life support. I want you to, in my area was respiratory, so I really, we can control how big the breath the patient gets. We can control how much their lungs expand. We can control how many breaths they get per minute. We also can control what we call the FiO2. That's the oxygen content that's going into this patient to help stabilize all their vitals. Okay, where am I going with this? So spiritually, I was reading this from John chapter 15. And after I read it, the Lord said, life support. Life support. And I'll unveil where I'm going. We're going to be in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Say that. Abide in me. And I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Say that. Abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. That's pretty heavy. So you can honestly say for the kingdom of God, before you were saved, you were doing nothing. Because Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. Actually, you can say it this way. You can do nothing that's of any eternal significance. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit so that you will be my disciples. Let me share something. There's an inner frustration and this is so significant. We see, and I'm going to expound on these, but we see what stands out in this passage as we just read it. And again, I highlighted a couple things. One thing that Jesus says, he's the real vine, the true vine. But he also says that the Father is looking for what? Fruit. He's looking for fruit. There's many aspects of fruit to the Christian life. If I would beg to say to you today, that the reason why many Christians are frustrated, many Christians are weary, many Christians are disillusioned, they're like not so on fire, maybe even a little bit lukewarm. Can I share this with you? Not one of us was ever designed by God to not bear fruit. What do you mean? Bear fruit. You know, I had an illustration. And I forgot my branch. I was going to bring in a dead branch, just a little off a bush. Lori, will you go get me? No, I'm just joking. Kim. Okay, let's pause this. Just talk to your neighbor. Pray for your neighbor real quick while Kim gets a branch for me. I'm joking. I am so joking. But if you can imagine, if the branch is not attached to the vine, as much as your intent, and you might have great intentions. Say, I'm going to produce. In fact, that's the world, capitalism. Thank God for capitalism. But how many are at jobs and you have to produce, right? You're on timelines. You need to bring forth, right? In fact, if you don't produce, you're not going to have a job. You don't have a job, you're not going to have a paycheck, right? But the world is looking for you to produce. If you want to think about it, fruit is produce. To produce. And if there's nothing that's just so dissatisfying, frustrating in the life of the believer, is not bringing forth fruit. Fruit, we like to glory in fruit, don't we? I mean, come on, we can tell what a tree is. Where we used to live in Highland, when we were by Redlands out there, it used the whole Inland Empire in that area in San Bernardino really used to be orange groves all over the place. And actually, they've actually bulldozed most of these orange groves, but there's still, you know, trees that are still by the parks and open fields, and you just get out of your car, you can go load up a bag. Is that legal? I don't know. There's no fences. Hey, man, if there's no fences, the Lord is just blessing me, all right? The best oranges, aren't they? They're like, oh, my. Dion wouldn't know. I would. We'd go to the park, and we'd go pick some of the, big oranges, and they're so delicious. But anyways, we glory in the fruit, don't we? But you know what? We put a lot of emphasis on the fruit. But that couldn't happen. The fruit is only a result of what's going down in the root. What's happening in the root? You want to bring forth fruit in your life of eternal significance. It really depends on what's going down underneath the soil. Amen? And it's important. And I have to say this because I pray there's a lot of you would raise your hand, but how many feel like you're operating in full capacity in your Christian walk? Because we see, now this is not to blow anybody, and this is not to, make you look and you see what you're not. And truly, we see some things from the Word of God, and man, it's like I look at it, it's like I'm not doing some of the things that God has required and asking of me to step out in faith, right? There's just some things, because life happens. I don't want to make excuse, but life happens. But there has to be some shift in some of our priorities in our life. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to shift some priorities. You know, we see from Ephesians 3:20, we see this. God is able to do exceedingly abundant above. That's huge. Exceedingly abundant above all that you can think or ask. God, that means God wants to do some big things. And we'll quote it. We'll encourage ourselves with it. We'll tell our Christian friends. And we will like high five each other and celebrate and write songs about it. God's going to do exceedingly abundant. But you know what? There's this inner something on the inside of us that says, only for the true holy and the true committed. And you kind of almost pull yourself out of that category. Because we tend to side in with a little mediocrity or just, how about this? We just excuse ourselves. But what happens if we buy into that lie? We buy into living a way smaller life than God has required and as God has purposed and designed for our life. Amen, amen. Has anybody ever felt that way? That, man, I'm not living to, I know I see this, but I stay here. I mean, if I was even just to ask you, how many of you led somebody to the Lord in your life? You know the statistics is? 96% of Christians have never led anybody to the Lord. 96%. Because what happens, we consolidate and reduce, and I'll say that, reduce our Christianity to just coming to church. We've just made it that. And so what happens is we live a lesser life than God has called us to live. And in return, we feel useless, stagnant, unproductive, unfruitful. You know, I was listening to this man, amazing preacher, amazing heart. When I listened to his heart, it's like, Lord, transplant that in me. His name is Francis Chan. He had an exploding church. Exploding. He's like, it's not supposed to be this way. He says, you know what? There was kind of like mega church rule book. If you want to be successful, get the happening worship leader. Get the guy who's cut the CDs and the albums. And if you want to have a killer youth program, you got to get somebody who has vision and creativity and passion and get the best youth leaders. And he's like, all the people are saying, if you want to grow the church, then you got to have the best facilities, of course. You got to get the intelligent lighting, the lights that move. And then, of course, you want to have the haze, so it hazes up on the stage and looks like glory in the ambience, and you can see the laser lights and everything. And of course. And this stuff is cool. And I'm not against all of that, but we've reduced our Christianity. We've made that fruitfulness. And Francis Chan says, you know what? We weren't doing it right. I see people giving their lives for Christ. I see missionaries out living on the cutting edge. And he says, many of us have never even been persecuted for our faith. We cut them off the second they say, holy roller. You never talk to them again. And he says, we're not doing it right. And he says he quit a booming megachurch. And he took five girls, babies from two on up. He says, I didn't know. I just wanted to obey God, but I'd read the word and I see what the word says. And I was like, that's not my life. He says, I'm getting caught up in intelligent lighting and what color the carpet and what kind of pews. And if I could just get the best worship leader, the most renowned worship leader, then we can have really cool worship, man. And people like, and again, that has its place. But when you've made it that, we've missed it. If that's the kind of fruit we're looking for, it's a small Christianity. Are you listening? And so he took his five kids to China. He took them to India. And he has kids praying for the sick. He has his kids ministering. And he was out in China in the underground church. And they asked him to get up and speak. And he says, there was men and women who walked up with no hands saying, you know what? They told me not to hold my Bible. They says, if I held my Bible, they're going to cut my hands off. And he says, that's why I don't have my hands. And he's like, what have we reduced ourselves as a church? Now, I'm not saying we all have to go, you know, there's a specific calling to suffer in degrees and dimensions that way. So no condemnation. But my point is, are we getting caught in the stuff? Have we even entered into the stuff? Is that the kind of fruit we're looking for? Are we looking for quality fruit? There's several things the scripture talks about fruit. There's a fruit of unto death. There's a fruit unto death. God is looking for fruit from everyone, but not this kind. Listen to this, Romans 6:21. Paul talking to the church, he says, what fruit did you have in those things which you are now ashamed? There's fruit of things that you're not that you're ashamed of. How many have a past? Yeah? Yeah, we have made a lot of good choices. In fact, God pulled us out, broke every chain, pulled us out of the darkness, out of the pit. And we have a testimony. But before then, the things that we kept pursuing, I work hard to get, I work really hard hoping that the world would work for me. Didn't you? Some of you guys just kept, man, if I just go to enough bars, I'll get it. Right? If I just have enough money, if I work hard enough and I can have enough to pay for what I want. I mean, that's the kind of fruit sometimes we think, you know. And right here it says, what fruit did you have in those things which you are now ashamed? So the things that you did in shame produce fruit. There's another, listen to Matthew chapter 7, verse 19. It says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. God is looking for fruit. Look at your neighbor and say, God is looking for fruit. We don't get into that area. I'm going to qualify some of these. I want to keep going. There's the fruit of the Spirit. We know what this is, and our kids were brought up. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness. And I don't even know how the song goes, but they teach them about what I get to ask my kids, what is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. And they used to sing all these songs. And this is Galatians 5:22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I have it right in front of me, so I'm saying I don't know it, and I have the scripture right there. How about this one? There's the fruit of our labor. That's just the labor and things you've put your hand to and work hard. This is verse 22. It says, but in Philippians 1:22, it says, but if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Paul at this, he's in reference talking about his task and goal, his purpose. He knew he was in touch with his purpose. He lived to preach the gospel. He lived to make Christ known. He lived to be an ambassador. He lived to represent Christ. And everything he did, you couldn't talk him out of it. And he says, this is my labor. This is my labor. You can labor in the things of the gospel. He calls it fruit. Your labor in Christ can be your fruit. Listen to what John chapter 4, verse 36. Listen to this. The harvesters, this is in the New Living Translation, by the way. It says, the harvesters are paid good wages. And the fruit, say that, the fruit they harvest is people. brought to eternal life. What joy awaits both the planter and the harvester alike. You know, you are missing out on a whole heap of joy in your life. Some of you have wrestled with joy. But I'm telling you, you will have over exceedingly abundant kind of joy when we start living a life to find the heart, going after the harvest. Notice, joy came. There was joy at the end. It says, what joy awaits for the planter and the harvester alike. Isn't that interesting? Just go share Christ with somebody and your joy is going to jump. Because God has called us to bring forth fruit. So we can see from the scripture that God has called, he has called us to bring forth fruit. There's many aspects and areas. There's also the fruit of your giving. I didn't put that scripture, but when you give, such amazing seed in your life. Because we talked about, we love fruit, but the fruit is only a result of the root. And when you sow seed, when you sow finances, a seed, amen, don't steal the blessing from yourself. Okay, so here's a good question then. How do we get fruit? How do we get fruit? And this is where I got the message when I was reading this about life support. Life support. You know, I remember I did have it just blessed me. He was a catcher for the University Lobos college baseball team. And I was in the ER that night. This guy, he's athletic stud. He had been wrestling with an asthma attack for 2 days, and he was stubborn. But I don't want to say stubborn. It was the first time it had ever exacerbated to this degree. He just kept fighting. He said, I'll be strong. I'll be good. He kept fighting and fighting and fighting. Finally, he says, I got to go. He was blacking out, driving to the hospital. Just blacking out. By the time he got to the ER, he passed out. He was blue and passed out. This is a guy who's just, he was being looked at by the pros. The guy was a stud athlete. But he had been fighting this for all of his oblique muscles, trying to breathe and get the air in and out, had finally just fatigued. And he just couldn't do it anymore. And he walks into the ER, help me, and collapses. Okay, immediately we intubated and got him and relaxed him, and I was there. And you know what? I was an ambu bag shooting air into his lungs, because his muscles had gotten so fatigued he couldn't pull anymore. He couldn't, his diaphragm wouldn't even move because he'd been working so hard. So I started correlating and breathing with him, squeezing air into him. And finally, when he came to a little bit longer, the next day I was talking to him, he says, when you were doing that, he says, something so simple. He says, I never felt anything better in my life because he was that fatigued. Imagine being so fatigued you can't pull any more air in. And so with this, life support, the life support of a Christian, you ready for this? The life support for a Christian is to abide in Christ. We can say it, we quote, you know how many times over the years I've heard John 15 quoted? Abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. He's going to clip off those, clip, 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 those who don't bring forth much fruit, and we take it as a threat. But you know what? God wants us. He has set us up for success. It's the one thing to make demands on people who can't produce. It's one thing. That's frustrating. If you're not incapable. If I sat in here and told you to sing a solo and you don't have the gift to sing, right? And I just, you need to sing. I can yell at you all and you can't produce. But the Lord has showed us how we can produce in our life. And every single one of us has this great, now listen to me, great privilege to abide in the vine. The life of the Christian is abiding in Christ. The life, I'm going to say it again, of the Christian is to abide in the vine. And we think, oh yeah, amen, we can high five. We probably even told our family that. Tell our kids that. But I don't know if we've really grasped the immensity of what he's saying. Because we still wrestle, well, I don't know, I just didn't pray today, I just got busy. You know what we do. We just, when we haven't had our quiet time. Yeah, but the Lord knows my heart. Yeah, you haven't abided in the vine. And God is looking for what? Fruit. every single one of us can produce fruit to full capacity in every dimension. That fruit, you can bring forth fruit by abiding in the vine. The definition, the Greek for abide. You ready for this? It means to remain, to abide. Isn't it interesting to remain? You know how many people to remain. And I've seen people just flight in their walk from church and from fellowship and small groups and from the Bible. But it means, abide means to what? Remain. That means don't go anywhere. In reference to place, it means to sojourn, to stay, to tarry, not to depart, to continue, to be present. Get that, to be present. How many times have we said we're going to pray? And man, we thought we were mapping out our day, and we're talking to Jesus. And we start, Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. And we start thinking, you know, I have to take care of this, and I have to take care of this, and I take it. And your prayer time turns in, and what we end up doing is robbing ourselves from a deep work that God wants to impart to every single one of us. If there's something that's worth fighting for, something worth being zealous for, is, man, guard that abiding time. Guard it on purpose. Amen? And be fervent within it. It means, get this, to continually be present. You know, hey, Orlando, just real quick. I don't know. I see some of you fanning yourselves. I don't know if the back doors are open, but Orlando's our wonderful air person, so we'll get some air flowing through the sanctuary. Is it hot, or is it just me? Is it just my wife looking at me? Second, the definition to abide in reference to time is to continue, not to perish, to last, to endure of persons, to survive and live. In reference to state or condition, it means to remain. Again, there it is, to remain as one, not to become another or different. We got to stop asking God to accommodate us. Amen? We have our, God, I'm just going to do this. This is what I have planned. This is what I do. This is how I do. Don't do that. Ask God, what's your plan? God, there's nothing more filling, nothing more fulfilling and meaningful in your Christian walk when we begin to get marching orders and instruction and encouragement from God. We got to stop when we're feeling down. We got to stop making the phone calls to other Christians. We got to start learning to call on God. Sometimes if we're having a bad day, how many of you are just masterful at when things aren't going real well and you're irked with your spouse or something, and you just make a bunch of phone calls and fill your whole day up? Come on. Then you don't have to think about it. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? Or is it just me? But to learn to get in the presence of God and feed off of him. Amen? Feed off him. God, you know what I need to hear. Listen, so with that said, how to get fruit is to abide. Let's read it in a new perspective. When we see abide, think of life support. When we read abide, life support. Amen? Are you tracking with me? So it says in John 15, verse 4, it says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. The greatest fulfillment to your Christian walk is when you bear fruit. When you do what God has asked you. It's amazing. It's amazing. And joy, again, will be released in your life. Verse 5. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who what? He who abides in me. I in him. Get this. Bears what? A little bit? Occasional. But how do we do it? You abide. And I'm going to give you some more scriptures of what needs to transpire. What does that mean to abide? Another translation for Abidus to live, to live and be a part. So live in him. Verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch, and it is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. That's almost self-explanatory if we're not bringing forth fruit. Now, God doesn't have this time that, I gave you to May to bring forth fruit. You're cut. We're throwing you in the fire. Thank God you're here, and we're hearing this word. And he's taken us, as Pastor Steve talked last week, he's taken us from glory to glory. So it says here, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. You know, when we are close to his heart, what's close to his heart will be close to our heart. How many have you ever found yourself thinking, not really like God? Then we have to abide. In other words, you take his word. You can abide in prayer where you have a dialogue with God. You get his word and you can begin to pull yourself aside and read his word. We don't read the word because it's a good rule. We read the word because Jesus says, my word is life, and it's life to those who find the word. And we find the word and we allow it to begin to penetrate our heart, to transform our thinking so we think like God. So Bible reading isn't just like, oh, I did my quota. Well, I said I was going to do 2 chapters today and I did it. Woo, hooray. I'm going to go do my thing now. Amen. But what happens when we abide, we get his heart. We get what's dear to God's heart. Next, we get his instruction. How many realize we need spiritual instruction in our life? We need spiritual food. And what happens when God begins, when you begin to take time to be alone with God, to hear his word, he begins to birth the kingdom, and the things of God become more tangible than anything else. They become, they're what drives us, his word. And you begin to ease, well, I don't like people. You begin to hang out with God, you'll start loving people like he loves people. Because you know what? This whole thing is about love of people. This whole thing is it's a sham if we're not loving people. Amen. We're wasting our time. But some of us have been so hurt in life. And I mean, we all could stick feet and hands in the air. How many, okay, ready? Watch this. How many have been burned and used in this world? I mean, you've been screwed, right? Come on. I mean, we've all had it. We didn't even have to try. And that's happened. But the difference to that is how we love. And the only way we're going to ever really truly learn to love is getting near to the heart of God. And you'll start finding people that, man, you couldn't stand to begin. God begins to deposit a love on the inside of you. And some of you are like, well, I don't want that to happen because I want to stay mad. They deserve it. Then we're just like everybody else. Amen. You know, again, as pastors, I know, and I know, at the Big Rock, we did. We can worship accomplishment in our lives. What your hand has done, that's fruit. Your accomplishments is fruit, right? And we'll worship that as opposed to the one who originates the whole thing. And I can remember we need to have a women's conference. Or we need to have, and granted, we needed a women's conference, but we had to. One of my jobs was to reel it back in because suddenly we can get caught up in the cosmetics and the production and how to make it happen and what everybody's going to wear, what dancers are going to do, what songs we're going to sing, who's going to sing that song, and how are we going to do the presentation, how we're going to decorate the sanctuary, and how we're going to throw the party. Are we going to do this kind of food or this kind of food and this punch? And I mean, you could get so caught up, and that we got caught up with that. We got caught up, and it became so intense that we would lose the anointing because we lost the heart because we got caught up in accomplishment. How many of you get like that? You want to have a Bible study at your house, and the essence of the Bible study is to have a Bible study, but we can get so caught up in how we were going to present instead of what's in the Bible. You know, y'all know what I'm saying. Look at your neighbor, says that stresses me out. I like what the psalmist said this. He said it this way. He said, one thing I've desired of the Lord, Psalm 27. It's a great scripture to add to your archive. One thing. Look at your neighbor, say one thing. One thing I've desired of the Lord.
But wait, I have my supplication list.
He says, one thing. I found out when we make him the one thing that we seek, it's amazing how all the other stuff begins to line up and work itself out. It's amazing. You didn't give all your attention to fixing your kids. You just started to hang out with God, abide in him. And God began to release himself into your kids because you abided. No, I need to watch every move they're making. And I need to discipline. We need to be consistent and on it. Right? We can make all these things. We get so bent and so fixed on the production, how we're going to fix things. And the Lord says, you want fruit, you want lasting fruit, you want real fruit. We got to learn to abide. Amen? Abide. And we've, and just honest, I said it before, we rob ourselves if we have not made that a priority of our life. Amen? I'm not trying to slap your hand. I'm really not. I'm trying to inspire you. We have to do this. If we're not doing this, we're not going to be what God has called us to be. And if we're not being what God called us to be, we're going to live a frustrated, small Christian life. Amen. So I'm going to read you some scriptures about abiding. Abiding in Christ is our life support. Our life support. You want to bring fruit? Abide in Christ. So first, did you put all the scriptures down? It's really interesting. The one who has all these scriptures on abiding is John. And who is John? You guys remember from the scripture how John describes himself? The one who Jesus loved. Isn't that funny? He writes in his epistle and his gospel, I'm the one who Jesus loved. There's 12 of them, and then there's the 70, and then the multitudes, but I'm the one Jesus loves. Right? But he had a revelation about abiding and being with Christ. Because you know what? When the others were sitting there, they're gathering, finding a donkey. Jesus knew who to send to find the donkey. They're getting ready to have the Passover and take communion together. And they're all busy. And I just love John because he's on the lap of Jesus. He's laying on the lap of Jesus, just hanging. Because he knew something about being in the presence of God. It's really interesting because when you read his epistle, 24 times in 1 John, 24 out of 18 verses, he talks about abiding. I never saw it before until I studied it. I knew some scriptures from 1 John, but he had something to say because he liked to hang with God. He wrote the book of Revelation. But how do you think the revelation comes? Just because he's striving, he had a great imagination. No, because he learned how to abide. Just be with him. Just be with him. Just be with him. Just be with him. Look at your neighbor and say, just be with him. 1 John 2:6, listen to this. Isn't that amazing? Well, I got to tell you, the epistle only has 5 chapters. 24 times he makes mention of abiding. In 18 verses. I'm going to give you a few. I didn't get them all down, but 1 John 2:6. He who says he, what? Is it there? He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. You know what? I think a better translation is walking just as he walked is a result of abiding. Sometimes we have this law like, you got to abide and you got to abide and you need to, and you know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm not walking like he walked. I'm not abiding. Shift it. Turn it. A result of walking like he walked. I mean, he walked with power. He walked with anointing. He walked the fullness of love and fullness of the Spirit of God was upon him, right? The Spirit was given to him without measure. But notice, if you abide. It's not a mystery, right? Jesus pulled away. Look at your neighbor and says, we're going to have to pull away. Jesus would pull away from the multitudes and go up on the mountain, hang out with God. Yeah. You're struggling with your joy. You're struggling with your health, struggling with your strength, struggling with your thoughts. You're struggling with temptation. You know what the result? You know what will break all of that? Is to abide. You want to be fruitful for God. You want power to exude from your life. You want your words to be powerful and encouraging. You want your words to bring life. Then abide. You'll walk as he walked. Go ahead and go to the next scripture. Here we go. He who loves his brother abides in light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Notice, he who loves his brother, what? Abides in light by loving. Now, isn't it interesting, though? When we live a life of love, when we're abiding in love, notice the result, it says, there's no cause for stumbling. You keep falling in your walk? Do you? I mean, do you stumble? Are you wishy-washy in and out? Then we need to abide in his love. Let's go to the next one. You guys getting anything out of this? Verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God, what? And what does abide mean again? To remain, to be constant, to live within. He says, because the word of God lives and remains in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So we might, again, we can kind of rephrase it by saying the way we overcome is by what? Allowing the word of God to abide in us. Amen? How many wrestling with your victory? Getting discouraged and down? Well, the remedy is what? Abiding. Let's go to the next one. Verse 24, therefore let that abide, what? Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. He's making reference of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in the life of a believer. He's saying, let it abide. If it abides in you which you have heard from the what? Beginning. You continue in the things which you've heard. Let's go to the next one. You guys getting anything as far as you understand abiding, remaining constant? Verse 27, but the anointing which you receive from him, the anointing is the power of God. If you wanted to know, it's the power of God that flows through the believer. It says, but the anointing which you have received from him, what? Abides in you, and you do not need that anyone else teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it is, has taught you, you will what? I don't know if it's doing to you what it did to me when I went through this. Next scripture. Verse 28. And now, little children, what? That when he appears, we may have what? How many of you wrestle with your confidence? Dang! It works there too. Some of you can't stand to look in the mirror without criticizing yourself. You criticize your smarts. You criticize your personality. You criticize those who are with you. You're just down on. You don't realize you're valuable to God. You don't realize that you're created in his image. And what happens if we don't realize that? Our own confidence goes. Did you know it's hard to do anything in life if you're not confident? But look, what is he saying? Little children, what? Oh, dang. You want to boost for your confidence. What do we got to do? Abide, abide, abide. Next scripture. Whoever abides in him does not what? It's victory over sin. Are you seeing this? You abide in him. You've been wrestling with certain sins in your life.
Man, I have trouble with my mouth. I just sin a lot with my mouth. What?
Abide. We got to keep moving. Next. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. I like that. His seed remains in you. His seed is in you. Remains. And that's what the word right there. That word remains. Guess what it means? Abide. His seed what? Remains in him. And he cannot. Get that? He cannot sin because he has been born of God. So when we're living with our spirit abiding in Christ, your victory over sin is done. I mean, it's there. You'll have the victory over sin.
You won't have victory over sin anymore.
Okay, go to the next verse. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love his brethren. He who does not love his brother, that's not a real fun one there. But we also found out how we can love. If we want to love our brethren, what do we got to do? Abide. But if we don't, you can abide in death. Next, is that it or is there more? By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us of his spirit. The spirit is that assurance. The Holy Spirit in the life of the believer is the assurance that he abides in us. Is there any more? That's it? Let me ask you something. There's more. I think that was only 12 of them. But did you get something from the Lord? I pray that we get the revelation of being in him. We rob ourselves if we don't take time to be with God. We won't be fruitful for the kingdom. You know, I'm going to put this challenge out because it's great to have people come to our church and from other churches, and that's what a lot of you are. Some of you gave your heart to the Lord here too. But it's one thing, there's something so fulfilling and joyful of those who've never been to church, but you start to play a role in their life in getting them, in facilitating a relationship with God. I would like all of us to begin to pray along those lines. Lord, give me a hunger for the lost. Give me a hunger. I'll abide in you. Because how many realize God loves souls? That's why he sent Jesus. And if we're not going out and doing it, we're not doing it. We're missing it. And that's part of the life support that God, did you realize life would just be pumped in you? And you could pump, man, when you lead someone to Christ who didn't know. And you begin to avail yourself. God, there's a hope on the inside of me that I want to convey. I want to release. I want to walk in. I want to demonstrate. It comes from abiding. Did you get something from the Lord on that?